Hello and welcome to episode 29 of Life in Hex. I'm Gelada.
I'm Sephron.
And I'm going to talk to you for a while, and so are you.
Apparently so. That's the general consensus of what we do on a podcast.
Generally, you know, we have a bit of a chat.
Yes.
And people have a bit of a listen.
And then they have a little click of their mouse on the X button.
X button, yes. The moment we started, it's like, oh my God, what are they?
What do we download this for?
Oh, Jesus Christ, that's a waste of 35 meg. Anyway.
We try to waste your megs very well.
We do.
Okay.
That could be a little new slogan. Life in Hex.
Wasting your megs.
Wasting your megs.
That's quite cool, actually. I like that.
Yeah, that is cool. Life in Hex. Wasting your megs. Anyway, we had an email.
We've already deviated from the point.
Yeah. We haven't really. It was just, we wanted to make a new slogan. It's in the show notes. Look.
Yeah. Look.
Yeah.
We had an email.
We had an email from a guy called DSC from Guam, which is some random island somewhere, I believe.
just a random island.
Yeah.
I believe it's a country.
Well, it's a little island.
It's a little island country.
Yeah. Anyway, and he said that he loves the show, particularly the tech sections of
Boo.
The show, and also suggests that we get a MySpace. Now, I was actually like kind of swayed.
We were on the forum going, guys, okay, go on email. Reckons we should have a we should have a MySpace. What do you think? God was like, MySpace is evil.
Yeah, it's full of attention-seeking whores.
Then I quoted it.
And, well, Tiny said the same thing as well. Tiny was like, MySpace is to evil. It sucks.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
I'm going back to idling now.
Yes.
I mean, it's a good idea. I can understand why you're saying it because. I mean, it, bloody hell, that's fizzing up. That's super up. Because, I mean, it would probably get us a few more listeners and it would branch us out. But as I said on the forum, it depends on if we want those type of listeners participating within the show. And
yeah.
I don't know.
It would just be quite cool just in general just to sort of get our name out a little bit.
A bit more than we have done.
But, you know...
Which links quite nicely to our next point of housekeeping, actually.
Yeah, it does. But to finish up, I don't think we will get a MySpace. I mean, I would be quite happy to make one. I've got no problem with doing that. But general consensus from the listeners is that, like, we don't want to be going there. So,
yeah.
I've got no problem with that. I mean, that's quite happy.
I mean, I don't mind going there. I don't mind not going there. Whatever. But
I would agree that MySpace is evil. I would agree that it is.
I'm not
evil.
A big fan of MySpace. I used to have to use it because some people at college like almost forced me to at gunpoint.
Yeah.
Kind of further improving the fact that they're attention-seeking and unwashed whores.
Yeah.
And we've really, if any MySpace listeners, they've already just lost viewers.
That's
listeners
it now. They've
drastically.
Gone.
Because we just completely dissed their.
That's
way
all right.
Of life.
It's probably only one listener.
Yeah.
So.
DSC.
Yeah.
Sorry, mate. We don't actually mean it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we'll see. I mean, if we get some people emailing saying, yeah, you should get a MySpace, you know, we'll do some groups and work for, I don't know, about the features of MySpace, whatever.
We can make a group or something like that.
Something like that, maybe.
Because I was going to create a group, but then I don't have a MySpace.
Yeah.
Yeah. Neither do you.
No.
No.
Even though about 5 seconds ago I just said I did, but yeah, no, I don't have a MySpace.
Neither of us have MySpaces. So, you know, a group wouldn't really work. So I would have just like created a user, people could add us as a friend, blah, 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 blah.
But then we wouldn't even look at the MySpace.
Yeah. I would. I'd spend some time like making it and stuff. And
yeah, but would you look at it afterwards?
Maybe once every week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, it does bring us nicely onto the next topic, which is Diggers.
Yes.
Essentially.
We have we're now on the new new Dig podcast feed.
Yeah, they've got a little beta thing going where you can like show. I'm not sure whether when we upload this episode, I'm not sure whether the fact that we've uploaded a new episode will not only appear on there, but will also become a Dig news story,
yeah,
so to speak, and will appear in the whole. I mean, it's not like we'll get on the front page or anything, but
obviously
it will appear in that up and coming thing, because I wonder if those two things are related, because you can dig individual episodes and comment on individual episodes.
Yeah, you
episodes.
Can, and then you can dig the actual show itself in general.
Exactly. So, that does suggest that maybe they'll actually appear, in which case,
so perhaps,
you know,
it might get a few more listeners. You know, it might actually expand our name. But if you want to go and dig us, please do, you know.
Yeah.
We're trying to be.
Binary Revolution
Radio, who's kind of like our founder.
Yeah,
they,
I mean,
really got to start.
They've only got 23 digs because they probably don't actually give a toss about dig.
Not really.
But we do.
We do.
So,
we're attention getting whores,
yeah,
don't
we are.
Oh, MySpace.
So, you know, we want to beat them just for a laugh, just even if it's just for a minute, just because we've got enough digs. Just for the hell of it, just to be like, hey, we own.
So just click onto tinyurl.com/Y2KEXV. That's quite cool, Y2K.
Alternatively, dig.com/podcasts/life_in_hex, or if you search, it will come up as well. I'll also post on the front page with this. Obviously, links will also be in the show notes.
You have no excuse not to dig us.
So please go and dig us. I've got it on IRC as well, and I waited rather than putting it on the forum. I thought I'd actually put it in this show. So
yes,
yeah.
That's it. That's our housekeeping.
That's our housekeeping. For once, we've actually got some. I mean, yeah. You know, we should have split that up. We should have had one of them one episode and one of them another.
Yeah, pretty much.
We won't get any now for about 2 months.
Probably.
But anyway.
Let me have a look. Right, life.
Life.
One thing we didn't mention last show.
We didn't indeed. And we were meant to, because the show before, we were like, this isn't the last show before Christmas.
So we have to do it next show, but then we didn't do it next show, so we're doing it this show.
We are. It's been Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Jalada.
Merry Christmas to all our listeners.
And a Happy New Year.
Yeah. and Happy New Year, because by the time you listen to this, it will actually have been New Year.
It'll probably be the 2nd of January.
Recovering in a hungover stupor.
So if you need to recover, listen to our voices.
Listen to our fucking voices.
Yeah, bitch.
We need to have like a really loud noise at the end. Well, that little bit that happens. Anyway.
Just to wake people up.
Yep. But yeah, so Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all. We hope you had a good Christmas. Did you have a good Christmas?
Well, I didn't have a bad Christmas. Mm. Just a normal Christmas, really. It wasn't a good Christmas, you know.
It kind of sprung up on me. I was like, there's Christmas. Oh, look,
no, I'm again. Being serious. I'm deathly serious here when I say this. It was like the 22nd or something. It was like Saturday. When was Christmas? It was Monday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was like Saturday or something. Yeah, yeah. And my sister says, I can't wait for Monday. And I was like, why? Mm. I honestly didn't actually know what she was on about. Yeah. And it's Christmas.
I hate breaking up late from school. I think that's what does it.
That doesn't help.
It's like, you know, you break up and then it's Christmas. Sort of. Mm.
But I mean, it did spring up on me a lot. So,
but yeah. So we hope you have a nice New Year. This weekend, the recording weekend, is a bit of a gaming weekend. It's sort of like a strange gaming weekend, because normally we just like you stay over on the recording and then we play games and then that's it. Blah blah blah.
Whatever.
But this time, the Shamus is gracing us with his presence.
Zints.
Zints. I couldn't spell
it. As you said in the show notes.
I couldn't spell it. But yeah, that should be cool. So we're going to have a 3-man gaming weekend, yep. Which is unusual. It's almost like a LAN.
It's like a mini LAN.
Yep. Hmm. We were just talking about random stuff that we're going to cut, and now we're eating, what is it? Pocky. It's chocolate.
We're eating Pocky.
Chocolate-flavoured...
You can be any flavour. It's just this chocolate flavor. I had strawberry flavour, but I ate all that. All right. And you get all like banana flavours and everything. So
it tastes like wood with chocolate.
It's just biscuit with chocolate on it.
Really,
but
random.
it's like the cool thing that otakus eat. So that's why I'm eating it, because I suck.
Fair enough. There we go. They're quite addictive. Anyway, where were we?
I don't know, actually. We're done the gaming weekend.
Also, we're both going to I-30 for sure this time, hopefully, because last time I couldn't go because of unforeseen circumstances. Bloody York University. So, but we both paid.
We should go in
again. We both paid again. So
yeah, but I paid the exact same amount of money I paid last time, and I'm getting another day because it's an extra day long.
I paid the exact same as I did last time, and I get a seat this time. Fine. No, I got a seat last time.
You actually get to go this time.
So if you're coming. Then or going rather,
or want to go?
Yep. Then
or thinking about maybe going, but you're not too sure. Whatever.
Then please let us know, and you know you can meet up with us. And this is really nice. It's going to ruin the recording. and then let us know, and we'll meet up and blah blah blah. The usual stuff.
All we can do is if you tell us in a far enough advance, we can try and work out the seating so we can be next to each other.
Yep. Because they haven't sorted out the seating yet. So so if you're a stalking fanatic, then please don't.
No, yeah. But well, shut up, Jelani. Don't put them off. We want stalking fanatics, damn it.
Do we?
if they're female,
we'll get.
No, I mean, if you want to come to I-30 or whatever, you're going to go and you want someone to sort of sit with, if you haven't got anybody to go with or whatever, you know, we're going down with our clan. I'm not going to talk about that on the podcast. We're going down with our clan, but we'll see. We'll be there as Life in Hex as well. So, and we're going to do a little Life in Hex recording this time. So, yeah, if you want to come down and you want to like game with us, please do so. Email us and we'll try and organise something.
Definitely. We'll also do some more, maybe footage. We could do some footage.
Do some footage with your new webcam. Because your webcam works fine.
My camcorder. I've got a camcorder.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. And we'll be taking lots of pictures and we'll do recordings. So it'll be good.
Excellent.
You can be on Life in Hex.
Go well with it, but never mind.
Be on Life in Hex. Come to I-30.
All right, moving on to the tech. Now, this episode, I'm going to have a chat about something that's been taking up quite a lot of my time recently, because it was something I got for Christmas, although slightly in advance. And that's
slightly.
Yeah. And that's Digital Freeview TV on Linux, but with a slight twist in that it's headless, because it's running in Tomb Raider, which means there's no visual display or anything. So, you know, it's not a media center. Tomb Raider is not a media center. Tomb Raider is just a server with a TV card in it.
As you do.
As you do. Well, as you don't, because no one knows whether many people have done this before.
So you're like leading the way.
Mm. You honestly, you can tell why no one does it, because it's bloody hard. I bought a LedTech WinFast DTV1000T tuner card, and that is just a standard tuner card with good support in Linux and very good support for recording multiple channels at once, because it's not got a hardware decoder on it, so the CPU does all the work, because digital off-air digital comes already encoded in MPEG-2. And it cost me around £35, which is about $60 or something like that.
About that.
$60-65.
Pretty much that.
Which is very good value for money. I mean, you can go up to sort of £150 for cards. When I was first looking at doing something like this, they were about £100-150. Now, almost all cards are digital Freeview or digital in some sort, maybe DVB-S, which is satellite, or DVB-C, which is cable.
How do you get a cable TV card?
Well, cable is just a cable.
Yeah.
And it just, instead of going into a cable box, if you've got Freeview cable, which is where you're not paying a subscription,
yeah,
then you just jack it into your computer.
And it'd still work normally.
Mm. All right. So long as you've got a DVB...
Yeah. The right card.
C card. And then satellite is just... Sky do free satellite.
Do they?
Yeah, which is essentially Freeview, but a few more channels. And got signal everywhere.
And you just have to have the right
for £100, you get a satellite dish and a box, and you get there's no cost. Anyway, obviously this is running on Linux on my server, so I was using a custom 2.6 kernel, which has DVB support built in. There's no need to download any drivers or anything like there is for 2.4, and you can either compile them as modules or as static. I'm running Fedora Core 5, and the Fedora Core 5 kernel actually already has DVB, but I'd had a custom kernel from the fact that my motherboard randomly freezes with the standard kernel, so I have to have a custom kernel. I plugged the card in. It's important to have enough signal. If you don't have enough signal, it looks like the card is fucking up. The only issue I have is that the driver is reporting random timeout errors, which practically flood my error log, so I don't really see the proper errors. I only see these random timeout things. You can probably comment them out somewhere in some bit of C code somewhere. There's a lot of software I've used and a lot of different configuring and tweaking and fucking around to try and get this to work. Firstly, you need a collection of tools called DVB tools. These are available through most package management, or you can compile them yourself. And these are for testing and tuning the card and for making config files, and these config files can be made in a variety of formats. The main format is a channels.conf type file, which is made using a program called TZAP in my case, or SZAP or CZAP, depending on what sort of DVB. And this contains all the frequency information about the channels that you can receive, so it also gives you a nice list of the channels you can get. And most other programs will then use this. The only one that I of experience that doesn't is VLC. VLC, you have to put in all the tuning yourself, and I've never ever got it to work with DVB-T, because one of my ideas was, one of my ideas was to use the streaming feature in VLC, stream off the DVB and then onto my computer. However, I can't get the tuning to work because it doesn't read these channels comp files. So maybe someone could email in and like tell me how it to work, get it to work, because it was just screwing up my card, really. Now, with DVB, digital video broadcasting, what they don't tell you when you buy Digiboxes is that several channels are transmitted per frequency. And these are called transport streams. Now, this means that several channels can be recorded at once, because, say, BBC, for example, they will broadcast about three or four channels on one frequency, so BBC 1, 2, 3, and, I don't know, News 24 or something like that. This means if you've got a card that will allow you, you can get the whole transport stream and then split it up. However, you can't mix providers, so you can't record one from BBC and one from ITV, because obviously they're using different frequencies. And sometimes, like, BBC 1, 2, and 3 are on different frequencies to 4, for example. This is the same case for all European countries and American countries? And America. Well, America's a continent, isn't it? All American states. This is the same everywhere. It's the same standard, so they all use this idea of multiple channels. But you don't get this on your Digibox. And it's one advantage of having a media centre, is that you can do this recording on multiple channels and stuff. However, more on this later, of course. Now, the biggest problem I had was that Tomb Raider has no monitor hooked up. She has no video card or anything. I mean, it's got onboard video, obviously. But there's no keyboard or anything attached to it. So I'm doing all of this through VNC and FreeNX. If you had a monitor and everything on it, you could use Myth TV, you could use VDR, or you could use Zine. These would then allow you to play it. I mean, I know that Zine, X-I-N-E, has one of the best things for just playing DVB straight off. It's got it gets the channels confile, it lists all the channels, you just click and you're watching, and you can save and you can rewind and blah, blah, blah. Obviously, Myth TV is the most well-known, and you probably could get Myth TV to work headless. There is a Windows front end to Myth TV, which would then connect to your Myth TV server, if you like, because Myth TV is based on a server client system. But I couldn't be asked to get that to work. So what I used is a program called DVBD, which stands for DVB Daemon. And you can get this from dvbd.sourceforge.net. And this is very good, even if it hasn't been made for 2 years. I mean, production basically stopped on it, and it is buggy in places, and you know, but it's very easy to work on. The code is quite simple, especially for the web-based front end. Now, what DVBD does is it sorts out this whole multiple channel thing intelligently. So it looks at the channels comp file, it works out what channels you can record at the same time and which ones you can't, and so using one of the client programs, it will tell you if you can or cannot record this program at the same time as another program that's on a different channel. Now, it's split up into a daemon, which is DVBD, and client programs. It comes with DVBcat, which is basically concatenate, or however you pronounce that, for DVB. So you can, like, output it to anything. You can output it over Netcat, if you like, which I was doing to test it, and outputting that to MPlayer on my computer. DVB Shed, which is a scheduling thing which tells DVBD to record a program. DVB List, which shows all the channels or shows you your current scheduling. And DVBD Guide, which is the best part of it, and it's a web-based front end using Perl, and it's really the code isn't exactly brilliant. He says, and then the person contacts me saying, "Bugger off, my code's perfect." So the coding is good. It's actually quite impressive. It's basically a front end for the DVB schedule, which is a front end for DVBD. If you combine this using the documentation that the author provides for getting some XML feeds from bleb.org, then you've basically got a whole huge listing of shows. You can put your favorite shows in and it will show your favorites at the top. You can press a button and it will schedule and record it, and bingo, just like that. I mean, literally like one click. Now, after some teething problems, because the program hasn't been developed for 2 years, there's not really a lot of documentation or anything, I did eventually get it working. And it does automatically work out the channels, but one of the main problems is if you use the feeds that he recommends, then there is no ITV feed, because they've said, no, we're not allowing you to use our feeds, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, just quickly, the ITV is a channel in this country.
Oh, yeah, sorry, ITV, well, ITV is a company, is a broadcasting company.
Yeah.
And it's a commercial broadcasting company, unlike the BBC, which aren't, which make you pay TV license.
Which is like government controlled or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Let's start on the propaganda.
That's not.
So, after this, I then have to encode, if I want to keep these shows, using, I use Gordian Knot, but you can use any old easy video encoder thing that will support the dodgy MPEGs. Because when you get the outputs, whether you've made a transport stream yourself and then split up the files or whatever using Project X, or just cleaned it up using Project X, which is a MPEG cleaning thing for DVB especially, then you get sort of 3.5 gig files. I think it's like a gigabyte per half an hour or something I worked it out to be. So if you're going to keep these, you're really going to need to encode them into, you know, AVIs with Xvid or whatever. But that's a topic for another time, really, because there's far too much detail. So overall, I think Linux has got very good support for DVB. If you've got the right sort of card, it will work. You know, people do have trouble. There's loads of forums and support out there to get your media center working. But the way I've done it with a headless system, with a TV server, is extremely tricky, and there's not a lot of software out there for it. DVB-D does work surprisingly well, but yet not everyone wants to do a TV server. You know, people mostly want to watch TV. I want to record TV because I usually play games when TV's on, so I don't really, you know, care about watching it at a certain time. And if Linux is your main OS, then it would be very easy to whack in a TV card and use Zine, MPlayer, anything like that, and you'll just be able to watch TV on your Linux rig just as easily as you would if you whacked it into a Windows PC, if not easier, because in a Windows PC, you've got to use the cruddy stuff that the card providers provide you with, which are always really bloated, horrible software. It reminds me of WinDVD with that dodgy grey bar and stuff at the bottom. I mean, they're just so ugly. Digital video cards, or digital whatever, you know, digital TV cards, have come down a lot in price. And Linux or Windows, they are very good. You do need to have some good signal. I had to get an aerial and probably an amplifier. I've got an amplifier, but I don't know whether I need it or not, but it's plugged in anyway. And if you want further details about, you know, aerials or anything like that, or stuff that you need to get, then please do contact me. My dad specializes in the whole thing because he used to work for a company called Antiference. So, you know, I can give you a hand with that sort of thing. And it's cool. It's really good having TV, like, you know, oh, I like that sound of that show, records. And, you know,
it is a lot more practical than, say, using a tape or something. And it's a lot cheaper than buying some, like, one of those expensive boxes where it doesn't play you any.
Yeah. I mean, this is essentially Sky Plus, but without the choice of Sky channels. It's essentially like a Freeview box
that can record
without a TV in front of it.
It's just, but using with a computer, thus you have much more accessibility.
I wouldn't particularly want to have this as, like, I wouldn't want to put a TV card in IR, because I wouldn't want to have to leave IR on to record a TV show at a certain time, and especially with digital TV, because if you're using one of these budget cards that hasn't got a hardware decoder, which is what you want, believe me, then you are going to be using a lot of CPU time to record these shows and to watch these shows, because they're being decoded once they come in, so your CPU is offloading it all to your CPU. So you do not really want to be doing this on a main rig unless you're a productivity person. You want to make a media center, or you want to make a TV server, but maybe with a monitor in front of it. So it was worth it for that.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you very much, Dylan, for your tech session. It was very good, you know? I mean, no offense, but sometimes I start feeling myself getting a little bit bored. You know, sometimes you take
sections. So do I. I talk about stuff and I'm like, this is boring.
Why am I talking about this?
Yeah, this is really boring.
But sometimes I was really interested this time, and it was very good, so thank you very much. Now we have some music.
We do.
We have some music from a bloke called... guy called Jeff.
Just this guy we met in the pub who can play music. I'm like, hey, come on a podcast.
From called Jeff Smith.
That was nice and easy.
It was nice and easy. And we usually have really difficult names to say. But no, it was very easy, which is partly why we chose it, actually.
Yeah, so easy name.
Easy name. Let's put it on the show. And this is a song called Not on the Radio, ironically. Because it's not on the radio.
And it's listen to the lyrics. It's a really good song. From his point of view about the fact that he's released this MP3 and you can like track it on your MP3 player, you know, don't play it on the radio, it's not a commercial song.
You walk around playing it.
That kind of applies to us as a podcast. Yeah. You know, we're not on the radio. We're a little...
We're on your iPods.
We're in a shed and we're on your iPods. You know, when I was on the train going down to Devon, I was listening to all these podcasts and I was thinking, you know, admittedly, all the podcasts I were listening to were now commercial. That's really, really upsetting me.
You're like...
It's podcasts that have to have sponsors, that are having sponsors
like
now.
Like Dignation, like...
Hack 5. But all the ones that I listened to, what did I listen to? I listened to Security Now, I listened to PC Gamer, Extreme Tech. I didn't listen to Twit, because I am not a fan of Twit for some reason. Leo Laporte, in some ways, just really irritates me. I don't know why, because everyone loves him. He's like the king of podcasts, and there's just something about him that just annoys me. He just has an arrogance about being the king of podcasts.
Possibly, yeah.
And it just irritates me. But anyway, also Dignation, and, you know, Dignation. is still so humorous. I think I'm just going to have Dignation if I ever go down there again, because I was laughing so much on the track. People must have thought I was really struggling to hold it in. I was like, I was sitting next to a window and there was no one next to me. And like, I was leaning against the window, and whenever there was a joke, I was like looking out the window, because I was like, if I burst out laughing, then like, everyone's going to be like, what the fuck is he doing?
Insane.
It's like a busy train, and there's me going, ah, that's so funny. Oh, Kevin, you're so right. I'm like talking to myself.
But I can see what you're saying. It wouldn't look good.
I was really trying. I was like, oh, God, please. That's so funny, but please don't laugh.
But getting back to the point what you were talking about originally.
What was the point?
You were annoyed at the fact that everything's gone, all these podcasts gone commercial.
Yes, exactly. I'm annoyed that, you know, all the podcasts I was listening to, I got them from the .net, which is a magazine. They did a special on podcasts, like top 40 podcasts or whatever. We weren't there, I'd hasten to add.
Damn it!
And if we were, we would have been the only non-commercial podcast there.
Really?
Every single one was from a website that's already a commercial website, like Extreme Tech, for example. Or a podcast that has become commercial, has had to have adverts in the middle, or
to be able,
know,
to pay for itself.
And, you know, and has had to have sponsors and stuff. And yeah, okay, I understand. You know, you have to pay. If you're a big podcast, I mean, we might have... Well, we won't. But if, say, you know, we really suddenly, for some random reason...
MySpace.
Like, yeah, ended up, like, way over on our bandwidth bills and stuff, then, yeah, maybe we'd have to get a sponsor. But to be honest, I'd rather pay for it all out of my own money.
I'd rather, because that way... It's yours. Mm. You know,
we haven't got any contracts. We can stop this or start this at any time.
Oh, we can say what we want.
We can do what we want.
We can do whatever the hell we want without having to worry about anything. It's our podcast and we own it.
And yeah, I'm sure, you know, Hack 5 sponsors, they don't, you know, they probably don't tell them what they have to do or anything. But like, oh, it just ruins the whole idea of the podcast.
Free podcasting community. The old idea of independent media.
Yeah, it's not right. You know, Hack 5 shouldn't have to have that little Hitachi True Stories advert randomly in their latest episode. That was just really weird to me. It just didn't look right. It didn't suit Hack 5.
No, it wasn't right, but...
It was like this random short advert in the middle of Hack 5, and I was like, well, sorry, have I just started watching an American TV station or something?
Yeah, that's almost what it's like, isn't
you know,
it?
What happened to Hack 5? What have I got? Hitachi probably don't even know who Pure Ownage are. It was the Pure Ownage documentary.
Ah.
They probably don't even know who the hell Pure Ownage are. What the hell are they doing
in a
Pure Ownage documentary? Anyway.
But anyway, rant over.
Yeah.
But I think you're right.
I agree.
And it's a good song. But this is a good song, and it kind of reinforces the idea of, you know, independent media and everything should be free and everything, and the internet should be, you know, a place to be free. So give it a listen. Do listen to the lyrics. It's more of a lyric song than an actual.
It's telling a story. It's like Code Monkey.
It's like Code Monkey is, yeah.
And go and check out his website at thejeffsmith.com.
Again, so easy.
Yeah.
Makes a change.
Brilliant.
Plugs to Jess Smith for having such an easy way to contact him.
And an easy name.
God bless you, John Smith.
John?
I said Jeff.
Oh, you did. Okay, good. Anyway, have a listen. That was a lame ending.
Well, it was a lame ending.
Have a listen to this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll get back with some games.
Woo!
Somebody told me you're in San Francisco. They said you're working in a box.
Yeah, a cubicle.
Somebody told me that you're not on top of the world. You're probably walking down the street with your earbuds jammed so deep in your ear.
Yeah, you're going deaf.
You probably found this little MP3 for free. Well, you can play this, but not on the radio. So I could let it go. Does anyone around here still have a radio? Anyone here at all? Anyone here at all? You should go and see them out in Cupertino. It's way cooler out there.
Yeah, I think so.
But maybe you just like it in your cozy little world. Well, you can play this, but not on the radio. I made this just so I can let it go. Does anyone around here still have a radio? Anyone here at all? Anyone here at all? Maybe I'm just bitter. Say
turn it off now, turn it off now. Forget about us out in Wheeling, West Virginia. We can make it on our own, and we're doing just fine. I can't afford your record, but it's out of sight. Well, you can play this, but not on the radio. I made this, but not for the radio. Hey now, switch off your radio, off your radio. Does anyone around here still have a radio? Anyone here at all? Anyone here at all? Anyone here at all?
Oh, welcome back. Hope you enjoyed that. We really liked it.
We did.
It was top of the list. It was third on the list. On top of the pop section on
yes.
music.podshow.com.
Plugs to them.
Plugs to them, of course.
Of course.
And we were kind of like, we were sick to death of always getting crappy stuff, whether it was like normal groove rock or blues rock search.
And I was like, let's change the genre. So I changed the genre, and Brother Love comes at the top.
What a surprise.
We're like, oh, look, that's probably the right genre to pick, means we love Brother Love. And so we'll and probably swap to them now.
Possibly, yeah. So we looked through it, and we found that one, and it's a really good song.
Mm. It is.
We had a backup song.
We did.
Which was interesting.
Yeah, it was a bit weird.
It was quite good, but...
It was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It had 5 out of 5.
Mm. It was weird, though.
Agreed. Right, okay, moving on. We have some gaming for you now, and a little bit of anime. Not much this time. We haven't got much gaming either, really, because we had such a long tech section.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to wrap up the show.
We are.
So, yeah, gaming section. This is pretty much all me.
It is.
Apart from the little bit at the end of it. But I'm going to do a review of Toca Racing Driver 3.
Is it Toca or Toca?
I'm not sure. I think it can be
T-O-C-A. Whatever.
T-O-C-A. T-O-C-A Racing Driver, yeah. Mm. But, I mean, I can imagine you can pronounce it how the hell you like.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, potato, tomato. No, wait.
You say potato, I say tomato, yes. So do I.
Tomato, tomato.
That's a My Family joke, would you believe?
Is it really? I didn't actually know that. I honestly didn't know that. Mm. So, yeah, it's whatever you want to call it. So it's just Toca Racing Driver 3. And it's, just if people don't know, basically, it's a racing simulator. Toca has been around for a while, originally made by, well, still made by Codemasters, which is a UK-based thing.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
Yeah, because they made all the greats. All the great racing, no, racing simulators.
Oh, right. I was like, all the greats, all the greats.
All the greats.
All the greats.
Yeah. No, they didn't. They made all the good racing simulators. I mean, they've had this Toca series for a while. They've made a few other racing simulators.
I've heard of Toca, whatever. As, you know, as long as I can remember, there's been like a...
There's always been a Toca around, even though this is only the third one.
Yeah.
Which is a surprise, really. So anyway, gameplay. It's so realistic.
Mm.
It really is. It's a realistic driver. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sure you're going to get some purist racers.
Yeah.
Who are going to say, oh, that's not realistic. That's not right. This is not real.
Isn't GTR also more realistic than Toca as well?
I'm not sure. I haven't played GTR, but probably something like that. I mean, it's just realistic enough for to enjoy in the game.
To be a simulator.
Because if you make it perfect simulation, it's not really a game anymore, and it's not fun, and it's supposed to be. That's the whole point of a game.
Tell that to Flight Simulator.
Yeah, quite. Oh, Jesus. That's
Railroad
that's
Tycoon.
Railroad Sim or whatever we saw on that. Will come up later.
Yeah.
But it's really realistic, and I really like it, especially considering... I can't drive.
Mm.
I honestly don't know how to drive yet.
Yeah, yeah.
I can ride a bike, as in a motorbike, but I can't actually drive a car. So yeah, it's really good. It's really realistic, and it's really fun to play.
But it is a classic.
But it's
racing
still
simulator.
A classic racing simulator. It's just, you know, usual going around a track as fast as you can in various different cars, trying to beat your opponents, blah, 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 blah. The one thing that stands out for this game, however, is the fact that it has lots of different modes. Mm. There are so many types of races. I mean, you've got your average kind of like Formula One style stuff, like your open wheel ones. And then you've got your kind of like your Grand Tourers, your GT races, yep. with like, you know, your fast cars. And you've got your four-wheel drive stuff, you know, like the one I showed you earlier.
And the monster trucks.
And then you've got things like the monster trucks and the off-road buggies and everything, which are really fun. And then, hell, you've got other things. There is a supercar race where you could had to drive like Honda NSXs, for example, which is an amazing car.
It's a good break from the classic sort of racing simulator type stuff, you know, and the classic racing type
exactly.
things. Have a break from that and drive around in monster trucks and bounce
if
up down.
If you want
the,
to, yeah. Like, I mean, I think one of the funniest ones for me was the MG Rally Shield Cup or something.
Right.
And you drive around in a little MG car.
Yeah.
And you're just going around this rally track, but it's the rally driver saying three hard left, and then turn into hard right left, or whatever, you know, something like that. And you don't get a map. You have to follow his instructions, so you can't see. So it's really good. But it's really good, and it feels great, and it's really fun as well. So I'm hoping there'll be a lot more, to be honest, than those, because I may have one. So there's loads of varied modes, and whoever you like to drive, be it on a circuit using Formula One cars, be it for rally driving, be it supercars, whatever, there's something in here that will appeal to you definitely. In terms of graphics, it's absolutely a beautiful game. It really is. The lighting effects are brilliant. I mean, I don't know if you noticed, but as you're driving along, you do start to get a ever so slight bloom effect.
Yeah,
because I mean, you can drive through kind of like wooded areas and dark areas, and then you come out and it will be slightly bloomed, which is nice to see. And there's great lighting effects on any reflective surfaces. I mean, there's not much water in the game, obviously, apart from when it's raining. But when it's raining, it's obviously not very bright. But the reflection effects are nice, and it works well on the cars' models as well. Which also leads on to the fact that the models for the cars are really good as well. They're really high detail.
Yeah,
you can see all like the banners, for example, the advertisement, the sponsors on them. And everything's really, it looks really nice. It's a really nice looking game. Damage is always the same though, unfortunately. It's more advanced than say something like Need for Speed Carbon, for example.
Yeah,
where it's all like if you bash into someone, it just gives you a scrape.
Yeah, we discussed this, didn't we, in the episode where we reviewed Carbon about the damage levels,
how basic it was.
So a reference to that episode.
But if you bump into someone's behind, you know, for example, if you bump into them hard enough, you'll
get a slap.
If you whack into them hard enough from behind, you'll
get a slap.
Shut up! You'll break their headlights.
Yeah,
and not headlights, sorry, taillights. But if you whack into them from the side,
if you whack into them hard enough, you break their headlights as well. If you like whack them really hard,
yeah, but shut up. If you go into the side, you'll dent their side panels, for example. It knows what you're doing, but it's kind of generic damage. So, but then again, it's not really very important. But the damage system is there, as I say, it's realistic. So if you do start to whack yourself too much, you will, you know, you damage your suspension, you damage your steering, you damage your wheels, etc.
Right, yeah. Which is different to Carbon in that, you know, in Carbon you don't actually, like, lose any control of your car or
in
whatever.
In Carbon you're invulnerable completely.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas in something like this, you're not. If you do start to act too dangerous or anything, you start to whack yourself around, your car's going to get damaged. Although, to be honest, if you're going that far as it is, if you're damaging your car enough as it is like that, you won't win the race, full stop.
Yeah.
So it's not like a street race where it's all very enclosed. It's like all big sand open areas, you know, the infield. So even if you do go off the track, you won't crash.
Mm-hmm.
The sound, well, there's not really much to say here. Because there's no music at all.
There's
music for the menu.
Yeah, there's music for the menu.
A bit of background music for the menu, but that's it. There's no music in-game. Now, obviously, a lot of you purists will say, well, that's good. That's a racing simulator.
You don't have a radio in a derby car.
You know, if you're going around Silverstone or whatever in a fast car, you're not going to have the radio blasting out some heavy metal tune or whatever. Yeah. Well, no, you're not. No. But also, for me, it was rather off-putting because I don't like driving to just the sound of my engine.
Yeah.
I personally don't like it. I like to be able to listen to something. I mean, hell, I've in the past just shoved some songs on in the background of a computer and have them play over the top of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But the engine sounds are quite nice and realistic. I'm not 100% sure, but that's about it. I mean, hell, they sounded just as good on Carbon, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So nothing really special. So as we put in the show notes.
Yeah.
Voicing, however, is a little bit interesting because as I reference to Carbon again, because it's quite a good differential between the two of them. I mean, you've got Carbon being arcadey and then Tocker being very realistic.
Yeah, yeah.
You got kind of in Carmen, you got some like, you know, you always got your sexy woman who are anything who's going to guide you through the game, and you've got like hip cool people and everything. In this, however, you've got like a Scottish dude who's about 50 years old and he's fat and he's bald and he's it's quite funny how they've chosen to do it, but they're taking the mickey out of the fact that they're not using kind of like attractive sexy women, because you often get the bit where he's looking at a car or something which is draped in women and he's going, he's just shaking his head thinking, you know, that's pointless or whatever.
It's
kind of taking the mickey out of it, which is kind of cool. So, but there's nothing really else to report on the sound because there's not much else sound.
Yeah, there's not a lot of sound.
It's there, so you can't really talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of value for money, it's not great because you're not getting a massive amount for your money. And if you're going to buy this at a shop, it's going to cost you the usual like 30 or quid, depending on where you buy it from, whatever. So yeah, it's not great value experience because it's just like every other simulator, so it's not really worth your money. But and like you said, it hasn't got a USP. It hasn't got a, you know, a USP gun that you start off with at the beginning of a round as a counter-terrorist.
Yeah.
every time you'll be doing that in your business exam, you'll always think of that now. You'll always think of that gun.
I do anyway.
Your USP. I haven't got a USP. Yeah, give me one. Yeah. Can I have a USP? Can I have a Glock instead? Oh, no, don't worry.
No, I don't know.
Can I have a Deagle?
Yeah.
Shit. Doolies. moving on. It hasn't really got anything special about it. It's just a simulator. There is plenty of simulators out there. There's nothing to make this game say, yes, I'm better than all the other simulators by me. You know, so be wary. There might be something better out there for you. Maybe if you're a bit more of an extremist, you know, you want something even more realistic. But if you want a bit more lax, there is more lax gaming out there. So overall, I've given the game a 7 out of 10 simply because it's not a bad game.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's a very good game. It's just got nothing going for it.
Yeah.
There's nothing special about it. So
excellent. Good. Excellent. Good fun. Good fun to play.
It is indeed. Sorry, just drinking some more cider.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a good game. I recommend it if you like racing.
Cool.
Otherwise, don't bother.
We've got a really interesting, it's not news, but a really interesting forum post that you found on Dig, and it is actually really, really interesting. I recommend all PC gamers go and have a look at this, and they've probably got console versions as well, no doubt.
Well, the idea of this post was just because there were people were saying about how the consoles are getting so much better off than PC gamers are, because like, oh, consoles getting all this and this and this because of all the new gen stuff coming out, obviously. But this is like kind of saying, oh, PC is still getting good.
Yeah, and it's entitled "Why It's Good to Be a PC Gamer in 2000s." In 2007, and it's on GameSpot.
GameSpot, yeah.
GameSpot forums.
Have a look at it while we're talking about it. Just at tinyworld.com.
Yeah, go and have a look. Yeah, it's tinyworld.com/.
Oh, QTKXJ.
Yeah, that's not a particularly good tiny URL.
It's not. It's quite a difficult one.
QTKXJ. That's the one. But yeah, if you've got 56k, if you've got 56k modem, then don't go on it because there's so many images that you can
There's loads of images. It'll take you forever to load.
But it's basically just a list of games with little comment from the person who wrote the post and a nice picture of, you know, a screenshot of the games or whatever. And it brought to light some games that look quite interesting for us.
Oh,
you know,
God,
I mean, fair enough, there wasn't a lot of information about them yet because, you know, I noticed most of the titles that he mentioned were sort of like very early release, very early information titles.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them I think you would be pushing to get a 2007 release. I think they're more like.
You're right, Dynamite.
They're more like, you know, working, you know, this is our idea.
Yeah, this is what we're going to try and do this year, etc.
You know, especially some of those MMOs. I don't expect to see that many space MMOs.
Probably not.
I've never seen.
Most of them are probably going to never take off properly.
Come on, we see like one space MMO released a year. I mean, you're not going to see. Like,
exactly.
No, Eve last year. Well, you know what I mean.
More than that.
Well, and, you know, Earth and Beyond 2 years ago or whatever.
Earth and Beyond.
4 years ago. It was a long time ago.
It was a long time. It was like two. It was more like 5 to 6.
Yeah, it was a long time. Jesus. Anyway.
But anyway, that's not the point. It's a good list of all the games that are coming out for the PC in all the different genres. So it doesn't just like say the big games coming out. So in the strategy, it doesn't just say Spore or
CNC3.
That's what I was getting for, actually. It gives you everything.
Yeah,
all the games that are coming out that strategy, it's going to list.
Yeah, it's pretty much listed every single one that isn't just like a pathetic title. So titles from known developers, developers who've done stuff in the past. It also lists expansion packs. I noticed an expansion pack to Titan Quest in there.
They do list some indie stuff as well. There was some indie stuff listed.
I was surprised. There was like, you know, there was games there that were indie games, and that's good that you know, people are actually taking indie games seriously enough to include them amongst, yeah, you know, CNC3 and
nothing wrong with a good indie
quite,
game.
No, quite right. I used to play loads of indie games.
Exactly.
Not as much now, but I used to.
Mm.
Home of the Underdogs and that. Mm-hmm. Theunderdogs.com. Anyway, but yeah, so go and check that out. Have a look. See if there's some game. There might be some games that interest you, and we hope to be covering as many of these as possible. You know.
Yeah, I mean, if all those games are going to come out, then yes, it's going to be a good year for PC gamers. We've got our hands full.
A lot of work coming up for us.
But there's some really good ones looking there, and I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, one of the ones that took the interest to me the most was one called Starfall.
Mm.
Now, although this was just a concept art picture, mm-hmm, and nothing else was said about it apart from it's from Blizzard or ex-Blizzard.
It's from ex-Blizzard guys, isn't it? So You can blatantly tell its influence from StarCraft. And it's going to be an RPG.
An RPG or MMO or something. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so go and check that out. Moving on.
Yeah.
Anime
section. Not massively long. Nope. Haven't been really watching much to really review.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully this bit of news will allow me to.
It will.
Because this is quite a bit of interesting news. I spotted this last night, actually,
mm,
when I was looking at the website for the latest episode of One Piece.
Mm-hmm.
Not been released yet, unfortunately.
Nope.
Still waiting for it. But it's called ADC TV. Now, ADC is kind of like an anime distribution thing.
Yep.
That's what I said, anime distribution consortium, maybe? I don't know. I actually know what it stands for.
Yeah.
But it's this program, which is been made by ADC-distro.com. Go and check them out.
Yep.
And basically, it lets you stream all their anime content they have on their servers, which are free to download as it is,
yep,
which is great in my opinion.
Well, where are they hosted? I mean, they must be somewhere strange.
It must be an absolutely massive hosting area. I mean, each anime has to have been 170 meg each, roughly.
Mm.
And there's loads of anime episodes and everything. So, and
plus, I mean, it's feasible. There's no reason why not. It's
plus,
just
it's illegal.
Yeah, it's just interesting. Well, depends on where you are.
Depends on where you are. Depends on if you own or what you're doing, etc. So it's like a grey area. But you're right. I don't know where they're hosted, but it'd be interesting to know.
Mm.
But this program basically takes all their downloads and it streams them to your computer.
Mm.
It's a streaming program,
mm,
that utilizes
it's just a front end to their collection, essentially.
Basically.
I mean, that's all it is.
And it uses your Windows Media Player or your Real Player, mm, or whatever. And it just, all it does, it's only a 500k file. And all, mm, it does is you say which episode you want.
Mm.
And so say I wanted to go and watch an episode of One Piece, for example. I'll click on that episode 27 or whatever. Right, and it will start streaming it to me because it, mm, just goes to the link of it is and starts streaming it to the computer.
Mm. It is just essentially a little front end to a web browser, but
it's really good, it works so quickly.
Mm.
I loaded it up, I was like, right, how do I work this? Because there's no buttons or anything.
Mm, mm.
It was a simple case of the series episode done,
mm, mm,
no setting up, no nothing, it just, mm, works, mm, which is good.
Mm.
Unfortunately, still in its kind of like alpha beta stages type of thing.
This is the first release of it, isn't it?
This is the first release. I think it was only released recently because, yeah, I mean, it's only the first time I've seen it, and it's only just been advertised on the ADC Elite.
The news article was just from a few days ago.
Yeah, exactly. So it's quite a new thing, and I'm hoping to see good things from it,
mm,
because it is really, really good. And once they've got it all sorted out, because some of these series don't work. Mm. I mean, for example, One Piece, for example, ironically, doesn't work.
Yeah.
But it's worth a look. It's definitely worth having a look.
Mm.
Definitely go and check it out if you're an anime fan. Even if you're not an anime fan, you just want to check out kind of like this new streaming technology. It's not really technology,
no,
but you know what I mean. Just have a look at it, you know, see what it's like. Go and check it out. And it's really, really worth a look. Considering it's only 500k.
Yeah. Okay, well, that about wraps up the show.
It does indeed.
We've got some shouts and plugs, which we'll quickly get through. First of all, a shout to a guy called Paradise. He came on to the IRC a few days ago and was just having a chat to the guys on IRC. IRC's become a bit busier lately, which is good. And he graced IRC and, you know, said about how much he loved the show and, you know, was chatting to Moonlit and me and whoever else was on at the time, probably Mix. And I said I'd give him a shout-out because, you know, he sounded cool. You know, he was just having a chat. Also, shouts to DSC from Guam for the email, as we said before.
At the beginning of the show.
Shouts to you. You're cool. Plugs to ADCDistro.com, as you said.
Yep, just said in my anime session.
For that ADC TV, go and check that out. Also, I want to plug to Doom9.net. That's Doom as in the game. 9, the number 9.net. For a huge amount of information on encoding audio and video. There's guides to practically everything in the world about video codecs and audio codecs and audio programs, video programs. Everything you could possibly need to do with that, go on there. It's all there.
It was your Bible for a while.
It was. There's a whole section on digital video and re-encoding digital video. What more could you ask for?
I've got a little plug. The Sharma's found this, actually, so I can't take credit for it, but I'm plugging it, so screw you.
Go for it.
It's called Concerned. It's a webcomic based on Half-Life 2.
Yep.
And you can go and have a look at that at hlcomic.com.
Yep. And it's, I bet you he uses Gary's mod.
He does.
Yeah, he must.
He uses Gary's mod.
So I bet.
But he used it before it became commercial. Oh, yeah. So before it was on Steam. Mm-hmm.
I must get that at some point just to have a look at it.
What,
just
the Garry's Mod 10 on Steam?
Just have a
it's
look
only $10. Yeah, so it's exactly. Like a fiver.
Mm. But yeah, go and check that out. I had a look at a few of the strips. Look pretty cool. I'll probably do what you did to, what was that one that you like massive, just chucked it all on your laptop?
Ragnarok Wisdom.
Yeah, that's the one.
Check that out, it's cool.
Yeah, I'll try and do that with that and then like one day at school.
I think there's about 180 of them or something. No shouldn't problem. Take you massively long.
Nice will get script. Yeah. Get all of that. Or Perl script.
I'm probably going to do the same thing. I'll stick it on my laptop and then get bored in the middle of the lesson and just read them through.
Yeah.
Because they're only short, so.
Yep.
And they're hilarious.
Finally, plugs to music.podshow.com. We do it every time. Thank you very much for listing the music in a suitable way that makes us cry.
what the hell?
I don't know. I'm being random. But yeah, go check them out if you run a podcast and you're checking up on the enemy, aka us.
Boom.
For all your PodSafe music needs, and if you want some free music, there's some cool free music there.
There's always some good, and there's lots of bad music.
Well, yeah, and they've got just about every single genre under the sun. I was thinking maybe we should go for some grindcore next
grindcore time. Maybe, or some electronica rock or something, I don't know.
Emo? There's an emo genre.
Oh, please say there's not an emo genre.
There is an emo
please
genre.
Say there's not an emo genre.
There's an emo genre. Yeah, I know. I'm just gonna go and slip my wrists.
It's all about MySpace.
Yeah. Okay, so on that emo-tastic note...
wrist-slittingly, amazingly tastical...
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm Gelada.
Oh, and I'm Sephram.
And this has been...
this has been Life in Hex, episode 20. What episode has it been?
29.
I've put 28 there.
You're a fool.
I know. Life in Hex, this has been Life in Hex, episode 29. Bye.
Goodbye.
Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year. Have a good time. Don't get too
drunk. They've already had a good time. They've already
hope you've had a Happy New Year and have a good year in 2007 with us.
Gelada and Sephram wish you a happy 2007 with many more episodes to come.
Yes, indeed.
If you've got 50... If you've got 50...
Mr. Oons.
Yes.
Sorry, in joke.
Yep.
If anyone knows what that's from...
Then email us.
Email us
in
and we will...
Plug you.
Yeah. Choking on Pocky.
You've tried to kill me.
How did you know? So it's still going to cost
you... How much did it cost you, Sephron?
It cost me about 35 quid, actually.
Oh, right.
Because I bought it from... Game Station.
Yes.
Arsehole.
Oh, that would be so cool if it was a live show or something. It's like, how much did it cost you?
That would have been good in our episode, what, 24, was it? 23?
Yeah, the live show. Yeah.
StarCraft on mine. World of StarCraft. Yeah. Have we talked about that before?
Probably, yeah. Oh, if only we'd kept it that long so that we did it on a show and it would actually, like, you were like, oh, dude, this was an
can't wait for this.
Like, here's a link to it. And I was like, oh, seriously. And then at the end, I was going, oh, by the way, April Fool's! Like, on the show.
I'd have killed you.
Oh, that would have been so awesome.
Yeah, well, you didn't, so shut up.
I wonder what's going to happen this April. Cold monkey.
Vitos.
Cold monkey like.
Tab man do.
Cold monkey very.
Very simple man.
Big.
Warm.
Fuzzy.
Simple.
Heart.
Cold.
Monkey.
Like you.
Did him. Anyway.